All right, enough of that. We got, I think Tyler's on.
Are you just talking to Craig?
You tell me. Hello and welcome to Brews Day Tuesday podcast episode 637. I'm Sam Ginsberg, and here's our host, our guest's second favorite son, Tyler Dryblad.
This I like. You're not doing the voice, but you're doing something. Before, it was just a little too, like, I don't know, milquetoast for me. But I like this one.
I just don't have the energy anymore.
Oh, now it's I can't drained, hear you at
It's
all,
drained
all
out of me. Really?
Oh, wait. No, here it goes. I think there's just crazy lag.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
It's going to be a fucking mess.
Bro, you know what I can do? I'll turn off my internet.
So it just keeps squealing. Drive me crazy.
Still squealing.
Hmm?
It's still squealing.
It's still squealing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Shit.
This is good. This is good energy for the beginning of this podcast.
No, we're good.
Okay.
We'll see if it gets picked up. That'd be funny. My dad's hearing aids.
Oh, I could hear it for sure.
Right now?
No, not right now. Earlier.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got good stuff going on. We've got a lag and we've got some technical issues, but we've got Mitch, which makes me happy. So, hey, Mitch.
Oh, Tyler, my second son. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm okay. I'd say that you are more of a second son to me than Charlie Kirk was a second son to Donald Trump.
He has three blood sons, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, but
okay.
His son said...
Oh, did he? I didn't hear
his second son said... Charlie Kirk was like a second son to my dad.
That's so fucking weird.
Oh, boy.
That's the reference in case you missed it.
No, I appreciate that. And I always love to talk about fallen Christian martyr Charlie Kirk. So.
Be careful. You don't want to lose your job.
I haven't said anything negative. Yeah. About American hero Charlie Kirk.
Okay.
I don't love talking about him. I do love talking to you, and I love hearing what beer you've got. What beer you got over there?
What beer I have? I have Ope Brewing Company. It's called Brown Chicken, Brown Cow. It's a German dark lager with chocolate added. So anything that has chocolate added has to be good. I can't find the ABV on it. Oh, 5.9%?
5.4.
Okay. 4, okay. Not wearing my glasses either. No hearing aids, no glasses. I'm basically deaf and blind. And kind of dumb as well, but that's another story.
Just raw dogging your physical abilities.
Are you going to crack that open for us?
Do I have to?
Ideally.
I know, Sam, somebody's had Ope on this show before, but that brown cow, brown chicken thing kind of sounds familiar. Do you remember this?
I'll check. That doesn't sound familiar to me, but I'll check.
I also could be wrong.
Nope. We have seemingly a decent amount of Ope, but no Nope.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not pouring it very well. I've got... more and then beer.
We can come back to you.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll come back. That's all right. I've got a bunch of beers lately from a friend of mine at work named Mike, and I appreciate him giving me these beers because it's hard to find like a variety, but they're all he knows this, but I think he has the most boring taste in the world. I've got a Pilsner, Radeberger Pilsner.
So will he Well, he'd be like, so what'd you think of that beer? And you'll say, it's fucking boring. And he'll be like, I got you more beer.
Yeah,
a nice guy.
He's going to listen to this episode, too, and hear me say that I think he has boring taste. He doesn't mind. He knows. We talk about it.
Okay. Hey, Mike. Yeah,
no, like I said, I really appreciate him bringing me the beer because it's hard to find. I followed up last week's lager with today's Pilsner. So it's 4.8% ABV. It is crystal clear, had a pretty light head that was all very similar bubbles. Smells a little, I don't know, a little corny maybe. I don't think there is any corn. It was just kind of in the nose. Yeah. Oh, you know what? That's actually kind of nice. At first, I was like, this is a pretty boring Pilsner. But there is a kind of, I don't know, like a grapiness almost to the back that you got to kind of wait around for. But this is actually kind of nice. I like this.
What if your beer tasted a tiny amount like wine?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
I don't know. I'm into it. Sam, what do you have?
Yeah, I decided to have an ale because they're more interesting. This is Central Waters Pecan Kringle Stout, Brewer's Reserve, 12.3% ABV. Do you guys know what Kringle is?
Other than Chris? Oh, no.
I do, yeah.
It's a dessert that I didn't learn about until I moved out here. I think it's like a Midwestern thing. Well, it's probably like a German or Polish thing that got brought over to where I now reside. Oh man, the texture on top looks so weird.
But what is Kringle? You have not defined it for me.
Oh, sorry. It's like it's a pastry dessert that often has a filling, whether that be like a fruit filling or a custard filling or something like that.
Oh, okay. I was worried it was going to be one of those like Jell-O salads that they love.
Oh, no.
It's kind of like a turnover, but in a big wreath shape.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
Okay.
I've never had it, but I think I bought one for
and
you
yes,
guys.
Yes, you did. I think we requested one, and you were kind enough to get one for us. This tastes not so much like pecan, but still a lot like pecan pie. Like, you know how a lot of the flavors in pecan are like caramel, molasses-y, syrupy, sweet type of a thing. There's a lot of that syrupy sweet, and I'm not getting the pecan itself, but it still feels like evocative of pecan for that reason. It's really sweet. It's like sweeter than my palate, but it is very tasty. And the 12.3 is hidden well, so that's good.
All right. Well, that's good. Mitch, has your beer calmed down enough for you to take a sip of it?
Yes. 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 It's a beautiful beer. Very dark brown. Very strong aroma. It really, actually, I know it's a lager, but it smells like a stout to me. And there's some chocolatey smell.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Some chocolatey smell. Hardly any head to it
anymore.
If you pour it like you're supposed to,
right?
Yeah, it tastes like a stout to me, but much lighter. So it goes down very easily because it's a lager.
So it's a stout for beginners.
Maybe, yeah. Because there's certainly that dark, heavy flavor, but the beer itself seems thinner than a stout.
Well, I got three more of those. I kind of am interested to try them at some point.
Me too. I like the idea of like craft lagers. I haven't had a ton that blew me away, but I just feel like there hasn't been that much innovation in that space. And I like to see people playing around with it.
There's just so much room in ales and they're so much faster to manufacture. So if you're going to experiment, you experiment with an ale.
And Sam always makes fun of me because I like lagers. So
I mean, you and I would say most of the rest of the world like lagers.
I think you and this Mike character might get along with your boring taste.
I think I could out-boring him, actually.
That's funny. That's pretty funny. Well, let's see. What do we have? Hopefully not something boring to talk about. Here's something. Talk about innovation being stifled. From Cleveland.com. We will keep innovating. Craft beer industry voices opposition to DeWine ban. So Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio has announced a public health emergency declaration that bans the sale of intoxicating hemp products. So if you'll remember several years ago, they screwed up and passed this like farm bill that made hemp products legal. And I guess now they're trying to reverse that. And not just the, you know, people selling like Delta THC stuff, but also it seems like the craft brewing industry isn't so thrilled, including kind of college favorites, Great Lakes Brewing Company.
And is this because Great Lakes has a side hustle in weed products, or is this?
That is correct. No.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently they were
trying to figure out what their angle was. That makes sense.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of breweries have been like diversifying what they make because we all know the beer bubble has kind of burst. And so I think they're trying to, you know, make hard seltzers and, you know, weed juice or whatever, just to kind of help themselves out a little bit, you know, provide a little padding. Apparently Great Lakes Brewing was one of the first in Ohio to make a hemp THC drink. And so they don't love this idea.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Do you think there's anything to do with this guy's name being DeWine and he's in the pocket of Big DeWine, Big De Spirits, yeah, and De Beer?
Well, De Beer doesn't like his idea here.
I mean, probably other breweries might. Like, competitors of Great Lakes that don't have their finger in this pie might be pleased with
this. Yes. Sure. Yeah, of course they are. Almost most brewers' associations don't like, and we've done articles on this, don't like the THC beverage industry because they're worried it's going to take their money.
Because it will.
Yeah, probably.
Their fears are well-founded.
I don't drink any THC beverages or CBD beverages, so I don't really know. But I do. It does seem to be a growing segment of what's out there. I see it at the liquor store when I go out there now. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I haven't had this beer. I'll bring it on the show. And then it's a weed beer.
So are they beer adjacent, these drinks? I mean, do they have the same kind of qualities as a beer would have?
Not usually. It's usually more like, I know you're not a big sparkling water guy, but it's flavored sparkling water with,
oh, okay,
with weed infusion. I don't really know. So at my local Hop House, they sell their own weed beverage. And I always let my kids pick out, well, the girls pick out what drinks I'm going to bring home that week. And there have been times that they've pointed to the weed one and have been like, I don't drink that much of that. Don't make me buy more of that. But there have also been times that have been like, I'm running low on that one. You want to make me buy that one, please?
So you like that?
I drink like one of them a week. Usually while we play D&D, I'll have one of those. And
incredible.
They're like weirdly tasty. Like I would drink them if they didn't have anything interesting in them.
I'm not a huge... Yeah, go ahead.
No. I guess I'm just wondering the effect it has on you. Like, does it feel very different than the effect of drinking one beer?
I mean, Dad, you've smoked weed. Like, you know that weed and alcohol feel differently? It's the same thing.
They feel... Oh, so, okay, so you're saying they do feel different. Just, you know that
it's just
the intoxication
like,
that you have is not a beer intoxication.
Yeah, I mean, if I did some sort of blind taste test where also somehow the flavors were neutralized, I would definitely a half hour later be able to tell you which one I had put into my system.
Okay.
It's basically like taking an edible but making it a liquid.
You okay.
Know? Yeah. Is from my understanding, because again, I don't drink them. I'm not interested.
Mitch doesn't understand weed unless it's out of a bong. Otherwise, it's like kind of a foreign concept to him.
Go back to Berkeley, hippie.
I like the feeling of a beer more than I like the feeling of weed, I think. An edible.
I'm so proud of you for saying weed and not pot there, Dad. You see, pot is what old people call it.
Oh, okay.
Weed is it's not hip. Grass, yeah, that's a real old-timey term.
I call it Mary Jane. Reefer.
Yeah, hell yeah. Little the old devil's lettuce. That's funny. Yeah, I don't know what this is. Like, aside from just some breweries not being happy about it, I know that the whole, like, Delta THC or, like, the hemp THC business has been pretty big out there. I wonder what this will do to, like, their economy or whatever.
I'm honestly worried that Wisconsin is going to see this and steal their idea.
That's true.
Because I know some people who I talk to don't mind breaking the law to acquire their cannabis. But I strongly prefer my version, which is someone wrote a law poorly and I get to exploit the loopholes because some businesses have figured out how those loopholes work.
So,
yeah.
Recreational cannabis is not legal in Wisconsin?
I think it's recreational marijuana is not legal. But the Delta is cannabis that's not technically marijuana, but it's the same, you know, it's the same effect, the same psychoactive substance. So, like, that's the loophole. You can get this other stuff that's technically not weed, but it's totally weed.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yep.
But there's the beer lobbyists in Wisconsin are so strong that they don't want anyone doing weed. We'll be the last state. Texas will beat us to weed legalization. Mark my words, we'll be state 50 out of 50.
When I've not spent that much time in Texas, Beck and I just drove through it on our way back from California. And like every couple miles, there were signs like, caught with weed in Texas, call whoever. Lines and lines of different lawyers. Crazy.
Man, that's so weird. Like that just speaks to it being a bad law. If that many people are getting pinched for it.
I know. Well, I don't know if it was like, I think maybe it was like a trafficking route, you know, and it was more like, driving
intent to distribute type of thing.
Yes, exactly. More than possession. Yeah, right. Gotcha. Exactly. Yeah. But it was pretty funny. Mitch, you are over in Wisconsin. What you up to? Just visiting, just saying hi.
Yep. Just a visit. Meeting, you know, awesome. Hanging out with the fam. It's been great. It's been great, but exhausting. I'm sure
I'm sure that's every visit with the grandchildren.
Yes, yeah. No, actually, Sam is the one that tires me out. Just trying to keep up with him. He's got...
He makes you go on stupid podcasts he does.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Energizer Bunny. I just can't keep up with him. I try and try, but I can't.
He's mostly just been following the baby up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. Are you around for much longer?
We leave early tomorrow morning.
Early. So. Well, that's
why I tried to schedule it for a different date, and it wasn't available.
Yeah. No problem. It's always worth it to see you.
Aw. I would have loved to have done it yesterday. Instead, I was working a garbage wedding. It was really upsetting. It was not fun at all. So, as you know, my real job is running a museum for the state of Delaware. But one of the big ways we keep the museum open is by hosting weddings. And we had probably the biggest one I've seen there so far the other day. It was 265 people. And we're like a beach location. So we have like this big sandy courtyard and people usually tent over it and put down a dance floor or whatever. But they floored the entire courtyard. So there was no sand to step on.
Oh my God.
Like, I know.
Seems like a waste of the venue.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And then they tented everything. Well, that was kind of fair that they put up tents though, because like the storm, there's some storm out here that's blowing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But they like tented everything and there was like an army of people doing stuff. It was nuts. And you know, they were like, the wedding party was fine or whatever. They were all kind of like East Coast jags, but they didn't really do anything bad, but they were just kind of irritating. But then like everybody's supposed to be out by 11. Like that's what's written into the contract. Like all the caterers and vendors and stuff are out by 11. I was there till 12:30 and I was pissed off. Oh. I was extremely mad.
Were you turning lights off and playing closing time and no one was getting the hint?
No. So all the wedding folks left because they had like buses or whatever to the after party and they were all gone. But the vendors were just like hanging out, you know, and I had to really get in a bunch of people's faces, which I don't love doing. But yeah, I was just like turning lights off and like locking things up, you know, and they were just not doing stuff. I was very displeased.
Do you think they get paid by the hour and they were like, let's see how long we can milk this bad boy?
I don't know.
Someone who has worked hourly jobs, I am not incentivized to lock up as quickly as I can.
I don't think it was that so much as they hadn't been on site for 12 hours like I had.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so when you say you host,
really, yeah,
you host, what does that mean? Host?
He's the DJ.
I was wondering, you're like the MC, the DJ.
Yeah, for sure. No, we're just a venue. So we provide a location and then they have to bring like all the vendors and stuff like that. Yeah. But they
need, you just have to hang there.
Yeah. I just have to exist and make sure they don't like burn down the museum, which isn't really my job. We're just in between events people right now. So I got stuck with it because I'm da boss. But yeah, super not fun.
Do you ever see
No, go ahead.
It's a bad joke. Are you sure?
Okay. No, I'll jump in. You were talking about like emceeing, like DJing and stuff like that. We did have a wedding, I think 2 weeks ago, where the groom emceed his own wedding and it was extremely uncomfortable. Really weird.
I thought you said he was the DJ for his own wedding.
He did both. He wasn't really the DJ. He had playlists. So he just like put the playlist on, but then he'd like grab the mic and be like, all right, everybody, it's almost time for dinner, you know? And like, oh, everybody enjoying themselves. And it was just tacky. It was just tacky. So,
do you think that was him cheaping out and not wanting to hire a person?
No, he was in the like entertainment field. And I think,
he was getting married and still was like, there's not enough attention on me. I need to figure out what gives this attention on me.
Correct.
You know, the real victim here is his wife. Because bride should be attention getter number one. And he was kind of edging her out for that position.
Well, the bride at this one did a great job because she also, no, not also, what am I saying? But she got on stage with the band and sang a song. So that was a lot of fun. And then I had to stop some people from peeing on the building, which I really loved. And actually, you know what? I forgot about this. Actually, the wedding party was kind of bad. Somebody set off the fire alarm because I think they were vaping in the bathroom. So I had to deal with that too. Yeah.
So we've talked about you catching masturbators at your park.
Correct.
And a common defense that the masturbators will use was, I wasn't masturbating, I had to pee.
Yes.
But these guys actually had to pee, I'm assuming. They were just masturbating at the building.
No. Not this time, Samuel. Not this time.
But, like, my dog, how many dicks have you seen at this job?
Four.
I gotta tell you, that's too many.
It is too many. You're right. Only two of them required me to go to court, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably, it's definitely illegal that they did that. It's just less offensive. The urinators.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I get it. Like, sometimes you gotta
pee. We've all pissed on buildings here. It happens.
Right. Yeah. But, like, please don't. You know? Please don't around me. But yeah, so that's what I did. I would have much rather been talking to the two of you.
Do you ever, given your position, when you see a wedding elsewhere in town, do you ever think to yourself, that belongs in my museum?
You know what? That was pretty good. I like that.
That's the one I said I wasn't going to do before, and I came back to
it. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm glad I did. I wouldn't have slept.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too. That was fun. all right, let's go to something else, I guess. Something maybe not so fun, at least for the people involved. BBC.com, how hackers forced brewing giant Asahi back to pen and paper. They hacked them, that's how. The title is a bit misleading. The more interesting thing is that Asahi, which controls like 40% of the brewing industry in Japan, was hacked so bad that they had to stop producing stuff for a little while, and their computer systems still aren't working, and they're having to take orders like over the phone with pen and paper, which is nuts.
I wonder if this is one of those things where the hacker like holds the system hostage and is like,
yeah,
wire us Bitcoin and we'll give you your system back. I wonder if they're just like, no, you have our system now. We'll make a new system, and in the meantime, we need to use pen and paper.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're doing. Which I
fucking love that move. The main reason I love that move is, if I'm a hacker, I'm disincentivized to hack them in the future, because they've shown that whether it's the right idea or not, they're not giving people money.
No, I think not paying ransom is great. Like,
if you can say fuck it, kill the hostage, like, that's a great position to be in.
Well, yes, but yes, but I mean, from a wider standpoint, like, every time somebody pays a ransom, it incentivizes other people to, you know, kidnap or hold hostage or whatever, if it's a person or an industry or whatever. Like, I'll put it on wax right now. If I ever get kidnapped, don't pay a ransom for me, because it's like morally bad.
So I'm going to read between the lines here. You want me to have like a fucking boss ass suiting up montage where I put on my body armor and grab all my guns and exactly, come and get you exactly. myself?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to rally the team together and come rescue me.
The headline will be, idiot dies in basement trying to strap guns on self.
Shoot yourself right in the leg. But yeah, no, I do think they're just trying to like muscle through it, which is cool. It hasn't been so cool, I guess, for a lot of like restaurants and liquor stores in Japan, though.
And consumers, I imagine.
Yeah. It starts out with this lady who only has 3 bottles left at her restaurant, which probably isn't ideal. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, you got to make lemonade there and say, these bottles each cost $1,000. How much do you like this fucking beer?
Is that like
supply and demand, baby?
Right. Yeah. Mitch, you've been awfully silent while your son talks about murdering people and jacking prices on fools. What do you think is going on?
I was waiting for him to say that he has a certain special skill set.
Yeah, right. So right.
He whoever is doing the kidnapping needs to be worried that they will be dead by the end of the evening.
Taken, starring Sam Ginsberg.
Somehow I've managed to never see a Taken movie. Like, I follow the reference the whole way through because it's a zeitgeist, but I've never seen any of those movies. Are they any good?
I've only seen the first one. The action with Liam Neeson is like fine, you know, it's whatever. The choreography is okay, but the story is really garbage. It's just like this: his daughter, who's a saint, goes on a trip with her slutty friend, who obviously is the one who dies, because if you have sex, you've got to die, and is like sold into what they keep referring to as white slavery. And it's like, just don't qualify it. It's just slavery.
Just call it slavery. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Just call it slavery. So it's kind of like trite, but I mean, the fight choreography is fine.
So that sounds like it's just for 50-year-old dads who are anxious and want to get to play through their fears where they're in power.
I guess. I don't know. Does Mitch want that? Is that what he's into?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, I really like that movie. I do. You know, it's like you have to suspend disbelief the entire movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, bad guys get it in the end. I like they that. They do.
And I agree. I agree that the fight scenes are choreographed pretty well. I think the action is pretty good. I just don't love the frame story.
Yeah.
See, that's why I like a movie like John Wick, where it's so silly that you're like, you can't even make me care about the plot. You don't want me to care about the plot. It's just the dialogue might as well be like, oh no, look, a gunfight. And then you watch the gunfight. Because the action in it fucking rules, but the story is really wacky. Yeah.
Have you seen, I think it's an Indonesian movie called The Raid?
Yeah, we've talked about The Raid before. The Raid rules. Oh,
have we? Yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah. All right, well, that's all I got. I
have to check it out.
It's kind of just, it's like one building, and it's just fight scene after fight scene after fight scene in this one
building. It's the whole movie, yeah. It's the whole movie.
And it's just, it's banger after banger of a fight scene. It's like, I don't know who directed it or stunt choreography or whatever, but it all rules.
Yeah, it's very good. Let's see. We were talking about something in here.
These hackers? Were we done with these hackers? We want
to
talk more about
this. I think we were done with them. No, we were done with them. Okay. I talked about the wedding I went to. You got to talk about something over there.
Well, I think Mitch was talking about his content, and you were like, no, shut up, and then talked about your stuff. Oh, was he? Well, I mean, he was talking about his visit.
Oh, I had asked why he was there, right? And he said it was just a normal-ass visit, and he was tired from the grandchildren. What did you – so I guess, like
– it's been 9 months since you talked to this man. How about you ask him a question?
I was going to – you dick. I was just getting there. I was just getting – Mitch slapped me in the back of the head for me. I was gonna ask, like, what's been going on in between the visits? Have you gone to any particularly interesting travels, or are you keeping it calm?
You know, we have a trip coming up in 2 weeks. We're going to Costa Rica and Panama.
Oh.
Sam and I lived in Panama for a month.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica for a month.
Yes.
That's where Sam first saw Spider-Man.
Right.
and had a great time, but the wife has never been to Costa Rica, and she has always wanted to go. So we booked that trip along with a little add-on to Panama, because we want to see the canal before it becomes American property. And so it'll be 12 days. I think it'll be a great time. We've both been studying Duolingo, so we're working on our Spanish so that we have no problem communicating. What's that?
Keep up on it. You got to keep up with Duolingo, or that bird, you'll wake up and that bird will be at the foot of your bed with a lead pipe.
Well, he sends me emails every day that piss me off. Yeah,
I know.
I'm impatient. Sorry,
I did Duolingo for like 3 weeks 10 years ago. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Mitch, would you like to explain?
Well, there's an owl, also called a bujo in Spanish.
Okay, thank you.
At the beginning, when that was one of the first words I learned, I was very confused. Like, why would they teach me the word owl?
Sure.
But that's the mascot.
Right.
So I finally figured that out. And, you know, we do lessons every day, but every day I get an email saying, I'm very impatient. You better do your Duolingo or you're going to be sorry. Or something like that.
It says
I think I'm maybe overstating it a little bit, but
yeah,
that's what it feels like inside my heart.
But what if you've already done it that day? Will it still email you?
It knows.
It doesn't matter. No. I was going to say, if you do it, then it lets you go. But like, if you miss it, it'll just hound you down. And as Mitch was saying, it feels like it's threatening somehow, even though it doesn't really write that way. Yes. So that's the joke.
So anyway, I'm going to Costa Rica and Panama.
That's nice. I have been to neither. I was going to ask if you were seeing the canal, so I'm glad you're doing that. What was your favorite part about Costa Rica when you were there with Samuel, other than Spiderman?
Well, you know, we lived with a family there, so we were in a family family home for a month, and the people were so nice. You know, it was great spending time with them. And, you know, just walking down the streets of Costa Rica as if I knew the town that I was living in. I did a lot of touring, and Sam refused to do most of the touring.
Yeah, it was lame stuff for grown-ups, because I was 13, yeah, I think.
I think you were 12 or 13.
So I stayed in town. I liked being in town. I thought it was cool.
Right. Although we did go once whitewater rafting.
Right.
And that was fun. Sam loved the fact that I got thrown out of the boat. I remember
that. So the main thing I remember is...
Oh, it's weird because I asked Mitch what his favorite part was. I'm just kidding.
I fucking hate you, man. I slept like 10 hours a night the whole time I was there. Not in like an I'm lazy way. I'm sure part of it was like puberty is taxing on the body, and I was up in that. But like talking in the wrong language all day is so exhausting. And it really made me feel for, like, you know, like immigrants in the U.S. who, like, there are people I work with who English isn't their first language, and they just have to like fucking work in the wrong language. That, like, I was just so tired all the time, and I slept like crazy. And like by the time we were getting close to ready to leave, I was dreaming in Spanish.
Yeah,
and that like really freaked my bean. And now, luckily, I barely remember any of it, so I'm back to normal. But gave me an appreciation for people learning a second language.
Well, that's good. I had a couple dreams in German when I was really getting into it. But then when I went to live with somebody, they spoke a dialect that was basically unintelligible to me. And it made me feel very, like, bad and not confident in my German. So it wasn't exactly the experience I needed. But whatever. What are you going to do?
Yeah, man. Der Hund. I get you.
Absolutely.
When I did Duolingo for 5.5 seconds, it was German.
Yeah.
But that was like right when we got Barley. I thought like an idiot. I'll take up a language while I have a newborn puppy that I have to teach how to piss outside. That'll go great.
Should have trained him in German.
I mean, it would have made him scarier.
Yeah. Do you think there's like a linguistic determinism, like the language you speak or like whatever affects the person you are?
I do not.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
I do. I think just the way language works and how it functions differently in different countries reflects the something about the culture. And so I think it impacts the way we think.
Can you give me a concrete example?
No.
Great.
All right.
If I have more time, I might be able to, but I can't write down. I don't know. I mean, male and female nouns. We don't have them in English. We have them in other Romance languages. I think that's telling in somehow.
And that's why in English-speaking countries, there's no misogyny. That makes a lot of sense.
No, I think it works the other way. I think that builds respect for
really?
Yeah. Because all we think about is things being male.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, if you think of certain body parts or... I don't even know, as... being could be female, could be male. There's no inherent better gender descriptor. I don't know. I mean, this is just off the top of my head,
right?
But that's a major difference, and I think it probably impacts how people see their world.
I would love you to noodle on this on your long travels home tomorrow. Come at me with a full-on TED Talk. Because I feel like there's something brewing here, and it's not coming through yet because it's too raw. Mm-hmm. It needs a little polish.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I'm not the first person who's opined in this area.
So. My first father who has.
Yeah.
Well, good. I like this. This is fun. This is the smartest we've been in the last, 200 episodes on this show. So
again, I said it last week. I'll say it again. Since Beer Dan.
Yeah, since Beer Dan. That is true.
I guess a quick little update on that. Yeah. Haven't heard back. We're not going.
Damn.
That shit's done. That shit's done.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're not done. We still got an article.
Yeah, I missed all that.
I'll explain later. Yeah.
We've got one more article to do before we can be done. So let's go to ndtv.com for an article that I think is very bad. Maybe because it was originally in another language. I'm not entirely sure. It's news from India. Fall of Bira 91, how a name change led to beer brand's dramatic collapse. So Bira 91 was an up-and-coming startup brewery in India. And they decided to change their legal name from B9 Beverages Private Limited to B9 Beverages Limited. They just dropped the private.
Who gives a shit? What is this article?
I don't know. But, well, apparently all the legal regulators in India give a shit because they had to apply for, like, all new licenses and they had to stop brewing their beer and they lost a whole bunch of money. And now it's basically collapsing because they decided they wanted to remove one word. So it doesn't really explain it. I know you're both looking at me quizzically. It doesn't really explain why, like the legal reasoning for it. Again, maybe it was in like Hindi or something and it's been translated. And so we missed that, or I don't know. But I guess in India, if you change your name, it's your DBA, it's a bigger deal than it is here.
So I don't know anything at all about like Indian laws, or really mostly much at all, even though I took a Hinduism class in college. But I'm wondering, do we have the producer's situation on our hands?
Oh,
did they take out an insurance policy against themselves or something? I never actually understood how the producers worked, like on a deep plot level. Did they bone this up on purpose? Did they bet against themselves? Did they short their own stock or something?
I don't know.
Seems so maybe stupid that there must be more to it.
It does seem extremely stupid. Like, I wonder if... Yeah, I wonder if... Because it does seem like an extremely strict law. Like, if you ever change your DBA, you got to go through everything all over again. But I wonder if, like, there's a proper way to do it and they didn't do it that way, or there's, like, I don't know, something, a corollary that kicked in that they didn't see through or something. Because on the surface, it just seems pretty weird.
I wonder if changing the name, I mean, since we don't speak Hindi or whatever language, maybe it changed the meaning of the name of the company. And the only thing that I can relate it to is the Chevrolet Nova.
Okay.
And how when they tried to sell that in South America, nobody wanted to buy it because the word Nova means doesn't go.
Right.
So I wonder if somehow changing the name in Hindi changed it to something that was...
You would think that people who speak Hindi would understand that. Like in the Chevy Nova example, it's Americans not understanding Spanish.
So I think that's an interesting point, but the company issues seem to more be about they're having to go through another regulatory process rather than people don't want to buy it anymore.
Okay.
It's just like bees and government shit.
Right. Like, because they changed their name, they couldn't produce anything anymore until, like, the name got approved or whatever, and I don't know.
Okay. So we're back on thinking I'm right, and it's the producer situation.
Yeah,
we're all on
sure.
the same
Let's
page
go with
there.
That, Samuel. Yeah. Great. Uh-huh. Yep. It's definitely a producer situation. No, that sucks. I wish we had some more information about this. I do wonder if the whole thing is gonna just go out of business. Maybe we'll do a follow up. Maybe most likely we won't. Who knows?
Usually when we do an article, this company has gone under. I'm either like, yay, or oh no. But I don't know them at all. I have no opinions. Like, I wish I cared, but I kinda don't quite care.
Yeah. Oh man, I saw a headline about a Delaware brewery going under, and I was so excited at first because I thought it was the one with all the sexist labels, but it was not. It was a different one. And then I
was it one
out.
You like?
It's one I have no opinions about versus one yeah. I actively dislike.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a Drake Kendrick Lamar situation.
Who are they?
That's right. That's the right answer, Mitch.
I really can't tell if he's kidding.
Yeah.
I heard of both of them, but I couldn't tell them apart because I've never seen them or heard any of their music. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Clarify that.
Good save.
Wow. That was woo. But yeah, they were beefing, and I had no opinions about Kendrick Lamar, but I definitely hated Drake, so I was on Kendrick Lamar's side.
I've hated Drake forever and was unfamiliar with Kendrick Lamar, and now actively am a Kendrick Lamar fan because I listened to him to support his beef with Drake and turned out to like his music. But I absolutely never would have listened to him if it wasn't for the beef, so Drake has been a great advertiser for Kendrick Lamar in that respect.
That really worked out great for both of you guys. He got a listener.
Me and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two absolutely. Of us are real buds now. We have a lot in common.
Absolutely. Oh boy. I don't know. What else is going on? I feel like maybe we're drawing to the end here, but I don't know. I feel like there's something we haven't talked about or something. I don't know.
I got nothing.
Got nothing? Sam, there's just a glint in Sam's eye that says he's got a secret. He's got a backup story he's not telling me.
I mean, I think you know this already, but I guess the listener doesn't. Thanks to my parents being in town, Three Sacks and I and Zach and Top Gun were able to go out on a double date. We went and saw a stand-up comedy show, and it was a lot of fun. But I don't really have that much else to say. Oh no, here I got something from it. I got a nugget. I'll just steal from there. The comic relayed a story from a conversation she had with an ex, where she said, "If you found out we were cousins, would you break up with me?" And her boyfriend said, "Yes, absolutely," and that made her really mad, and. Then she said, like, broadly to the audience, couples in the audience, I want you to turn to your partner and indicate, if you were cousins, would you break up? Everyone, if you were cousins and you would break up, everyone clap. And I started clapping, and Emily didn't. And then Taylor Tomlinson, the comic, was like, enjoy that fight on the drive home from the show. and I think a similar thing might have happened with Zach and Holly, actually. But I was not paying attention to that.
If you're first cousins, that's unacceptable. It's just completely unacceptable. I think fourth cousins and beyond, there's enough genetic variance that I'm comfortable with it.
And did you notice if it was mostly the men who clapped and the women who didn't?
I wasn't really looking around, but that's an interesting question.
But then again, Samuel, like, at your stage, if you found out you and Emily were cousins, like, what are you going to do? Like, there's no turning back that clock, you know? You
right, got three, right. We've already made three disgusting hybrids. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I guess I'm kind of on her side.
I have a vasectomy already, so it's not like we're making more disgusting hybrids.
I guess I'm on her side in your one specific situation.
What about your situation? You're not having kids.
It's still unacceptable.
Now, but why? You're not bringing any. You're not bringing any. Like disgusting flopping fish into this world. So who cares?
I was gonna say because God said no, but there's so much in the Bible about people marrying like their nieces and nephews. It's all over the place.
It's like a hobby in the Bible.
Honestly, yeah. I don't know, Samuel. Yeah, this is. You know what? Mitch is gonna get you a think piece on language, and I'm gonna get you a think piece on banging your cousin. Does that sound good?
Is yours going to be from Brazzers.com? Oh, Dad, I hope I have to explain that joke to you.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yes! It's a porn website.
All right. So that's good. That got four more minutes. I think we're good now. Let's wrap this up. Yep. Mitch, have you finished that chocolatey lager over there?
Yeah.
All right. What'd you think of it?
You know, it went down easily, which I like. But it, as a lot of beers that feature chocolate, I always feel like they taste burnt.
Hmm.
So I didn't love the flavor of this. Maybe I need milk chocolate instead of dark chocolate or something. I don't know, but it was kind of bitter and burnt to me. So it was not the favorite beer I've ever had on this show or in my lifetime.
Damn!
I give it like a 3.1 and say it's for people who like burnt chocolate. Or... you know, like coffee. It reminds me of coffee.
And you hate coffee.
I hate coffee, yeah.
That's fair. Sam, you should have this on the next episode.
I'm going to have it because I have more of them. I have something else planned for the next episode, though.
All right. Well, I would like to hear your opinion because I think it at least sounds interesting.
I think this might be my dad's lowest rating, and I'm going to try to figure it out while you talk because I'm not going to listen to what you have to say.
Anyway. I just said a bunch of words, right? Who cares? I had Radeberger Pilsner. What was it, like 4.8% ABV? I liked it more than I thought I would. Like I said, it had a little bit of like a grape note at the back, which was pleasantly surprising. It's not the most exciting beer in the world, but, you know, having any other flavor in a Pilsner, I always enjoy. So I think I'll give it a 5.7. And offer a little bit of an apology to Mike for saying that he was so boring for giving me this, and recommend it to, I don't know, people who love Grape Ape.
Grape Ape, and now are you talking about the strain of cannabis right now?
Hell yeah. Samuel.
I have not finished my mission yet. So far, I'm right. I had Central Waters Pecan Kringle Stout. I don't know that there's really anything kringly about this. I think it's more that it's a Midwest beer, and it's doing a dessert thing, and it was like, here's a way to pander. But it is good. I stick by it not tasting nutty at all, but I still do get pecan pie vibes, and I think that was probably what they were going for. I actually got a little bit of the burnt type of thing that... oh, never mind. I was wrong. Sorry. On episode 613, you were... I guess that was the last one you were on?
Yeah.
613. That would have been more recent than I thought. Am I on the wrong line? Oh, God. Delta Fusion Blueberry Blonde. Does that sound familiar at all to you, Dad?
No.
No.
Sick.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Apparently, you really hated it. You gave it a 2.1.
Wow.
But I kind of got the same little bit of a burnt thing going on here that I would have liked. I could have done without, but I think maybe that was covering the booze, so perhaps that was intentional. All in all, it was pretty tasty. I would give it a 7, and I would say if you like the Southern Tier dessert series, but think it's a little too sweet, this is good. Because this is still very sweet, like those Southern Tiers are, but not as sweet.
I would try that. So you said you've got something lined up for next week, so what is it?
I do. That beer from like a month ago that you gave your highest ever score to.
Oh!
Found it.
Nice.
Gonna bring it on next week. And if it isn't exceptional, I'm gonna be furious.
Well, you know what? I'm covered. I said at the time that I might have given it such a high rating because I was drinking Swill before and after. So I'm okay. I'm okay with you not liking it, but I did enjoy it. Well, Mitch, lovely to talk to you. I hope you enjoy the rest of your trip. Safe travels.
Thank you so much. It's always great to see you, Tyler. And congratulations on becoming even more famous.
I forgot about that. Sorry. I have to talk about that for a second. This is about that Allegheny article that got written about me.
Right. We didn't ever follow up. We never closed that loop on the show.
Right. We never closed that loop. That's why I'm talking. I got to talk about it right now. So, I mean, the article is fine. He took certain liberties with what I said. Like I've never gone on a sunset paddle, for instance, but that's okay.
It didn't read like they had interviewed you.
They did. Like so they did. They sent. Yeah.
I mean, some of it was like, that sounds like Tyler. And some of it was like, that doesn't sound like Tyler. Did they make some of this up? Did AI do part of this?
I think he like zhuzhed it up because they sent me a questionnaire with a whole bunch of different questions. And I like wrote down my responses or whatever. And then I think he like took what I wrote and I don't know, tried to make it whatever he was looking for. I'm not sure.
Crafted a bit of a narrative on it.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I don't care. Like, who cares, right? But my favorite part was, so I sent it to Sam because he wanted to see it. And then he sent it to you, Mitch. And then you texted me, "Hi, this is Mitch, Sam's dad," which was the funniest thing in the entire world. Like, did you do that on purpose?
I just wanted to make sure you knew who I was.
I'll tell you right now.
He ratted you out immediately. And I said, "My dad is the daddest dad ever to dad." It's just such a dad-ass move to say that.
I just thought it was so funny. Like, I'll tell you right now, whenever anybody says Mitch, I'm thinking of you, buddy. You're the number one.
Okay. Yeah. That makes me feel so much better. Thank you. I won't clarify the next time I text you for being in Allegheny Magazine.
I mean, you can. I was extremely amused. I was just very amused by that text. All right. So, yeah, safe travels to you. Love speaking to you, buddy.
Thank you.
And you too, Sam.
Yep.
Listener, if you want to let us know what you thought about that awesome interview for Allegheny that I did, you can email us at brewsdaytuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on links at brewstuesday.com, or you can blue sky us at brewsdaytuesday. Don't let us keep down. We'll see you next episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Here comes a beer, catch all your tears, drink the remedy, forget about your problems. Here comes a shot, lose all your thoughts, drink the remedy, forget about your problems. This one's on me, fix you for free, drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need, and take your medicine, you feel better, friend. Should we post a link in the show notes? Because I don't think we ever did.
Sure, you can. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, I also don't care is the thing.
I think it's great. I love that article.
That's why I sent it to you, Dad, because I knew you would love it.
I loved it.
I thought it was really funny that he reached out to me. I did. I thought that was very amusing.
Well, I was really, I don't know. It made me very happy.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's true, but the article made it sound like you really enjoyed your work.
And I actually do. Yeah, I really do.
And that's so important to me. And you deserve to have a job that you love. And
thank you.
I think you're probably great at it. So
thank you.
It just made me happy. Plus, I'm really happy you're not a national park ranger.
Me too.
You'd be unemployed right now.
I know. So,
I'm just really pleased for you. And I love you so much. I just wanted you to know that.
So. Well, thank you. No, I do. And I love you too, buddy. I really do.